Hey, I'm Jamie from Stonemaier Games, and today I'm here, as I do every 6 months, to share with you my top 10 favorite games of all time as of right now. So, as of how I'm feeling right now, however, I try to manage that feeling a little bit by only considering games for this list that have made it to the top of any of my top 10 lists over the last, I don't know, 7, 8 years, however long I've been doing this on YouTube. And that doesn't include my top 10 favorite games list. It includes any top 10 list of any mechanism, of any category, of any theme. So games that have withstood some sort of test of time, even though some of them are newer than others. And that brings me to today, where this list is all over the place. This list is some games that I know I will play again. I'm excited to play again. I want to get to the table right away. This list even has some games on it that I just have really, really happy memories with, even though I probably won't play those games again. I'll explain a little bit more when I get to those games in the comments here. I run a company called Stonemaier Games, along with some amazing coworkers, and I don't consider Stonemaier Games for this list. However, I did ask Stonemaier ambassadors what some of their favorite Stonemaier games are, and here is the list in alphabetical order. Apiary had eight selections from ambassadors: Between Two Cities 2, Charterstone 1, Euphoria 1, Expeditions 4, Libertalia Winds of Gjallarhest 1, Pendulum 1, Red Rising 4, Rolling Realms 2, Scythe 57, Tapestry 29, Viticulture 18, Wingspan 25, and our newest game, Wormspan, with 4 picks. Again, this was me asking Stonemaier ambassadors what their favorite Stonemaier game is of all time as of right now. And each of them picked one, and these were their selections. I also asked our ambassadors what their favorite games of all time are as of right now that aren't Stonemaier games. And here's the list in alphabetical order of games that were picked more than once by ambassadors: A Feast for Odin, Aeon's End, Ark Nova, Brass Birmingham, Castles in Burgundy, Dinosaur Island, Dominion, Dune Imperium/Uprising, people added both, Earth, Everdell, Five Tribes, Food Chain Magnate, Frosthaven, Gloomhaven, John Company Second Edition, Keyflower, Lords of Waterdeep, Maracaibo, Marvel Champions, Nemesis, Pandemic Legacy Season 1, Power Grid, Quacks of Quedlinburg, Root, Terraforming Mars, Twilight Imperium 4, and War of the Ring. I've played many of these games, but not all of them, and so I need to try some of the other ones that I haven't played yet. My honorable mentions that didn't quite make my top 10 this year for a variety of reasons, but these are games that I really love. I am always happy to play these games. Just didn't quite make it to this spot here. And I would say one thing influencing this year's list was there are some games that in my head, I know that I love them, but I haven't actually actively tried to get them to the table in a while. And that says something to me, that there are some games on this list that I know I would rather play right now than others that I know I love, but I'm just not getting them to the table. And so when faced with the difference between those two, I picked the game that I would actively play right now, that I'm excited to get to the table, rather than the game that I haven't tried to get to the table for a while. Here's this honorable mention list: Seven Wonders Duel, Ark Nova, Spots, Clank, Dice Forge, Downforce, Dune Imperium, Blob Party, Fantasy Realms, Hierarchy, Just One, Lords of Waterdeep, Magic the Gathering, Forest Shuffle, Orleans, Planet Unknown, Ra, Rumble Nation, Russian Railroads, Terra Mystica, The Guild of Merchant Explorers, The Isle of Cats, Tsulkin, So Clover, and Santa's Workshop. And that, my friends, brings us to the top 10 list. And at number 10 on the list is Century Golem Edition. This game kind of snuck up on me as a game that I really enjoy. I really, really enjoy this game. So this is I would say it's a Splendor-like game if you played Splendor but haven't played the Century games. But it is a light engine building game of hand management, where on your turn, on most turns, you are playing a card from your hand to gain an ability on that card. And the card might say something like, you can see them up here, and like a lot of them are conversions. Convert two green cubes into two blue crystals, green crystals to blue crystals. Some of them just have you gain some crystals. And you are doing these conversions, working your way up towards the typically the most valuable crystals, so that you can gain cards that are found in this card row. These looks like cards this player has gained. These are the cards in the card row. So I'm building up to try to get, for example, 5 pink crystals so I can gain this 20-point card. And it is a racing game. You're racing to gain 5 total cards. I play this game mostly on Board Game Arena now, this and the Spice Road version. And I just really enjoyed the weight of it and the puzzle. There's a really nice puzzle, an optimization puzzle of getting the right cards, deciding when to gain more cards, because you're spending often coin or you're spending gems to get cards. When to get more cards, when to play cards, when to refresh your cards and play the cards that you really like more and more often. So it has a little bit of a deck building feel to it, even though you're not randomizing your deck of cards at all. And then there's this race to get these better cards. On the far left here, this card is typically, they have it on the far right here. This card on the far right is slightly more valuable because there's 3 coins associated with it. This one has 1 coin associated with it. So I like that tension in the game. And it's also kind of just a chill game. Maybe I think when making this list, I was slightly more in the mood for more chill, slightly more cozy, slightly more relaxing games. And Century Golem Edition is one that I love, and I would eagerly get this to the table right now. I put it at number 10 on my list of all time as of right now. Speaking of chill games that I really enjoy, Space Base at number 9. Space Base is a game where all players are participating in every turn, even though it isn't a simultaneous action game. There's one player who is rolling 2 dice, and all players, if they have cards that match up tucked under their playmat here, they can gain benefits from those rolled dice as well. And really the benefits, there are a pretty wide variety of benefits, but they often amount to gaining either coins, so like resources that you can spend, currency, income, so that when you reset your currency at the end of your turn, it doesn't go any lower than your income, and points. It's a race to get, I believe it's 40 points is the winner of a game of Space Base. And it's, I really love the puzzle of this game. It is a game that doesn't require a ton of thought if you don't want it to, but you can also really puzzle out which cards that you want to gain, which of these cards you want to upgrade, because when you can only have 1 card in the main slot for, say, this number 5. So if I gain another card that fits into that slot, I have to take this card and I flip it over and put it above this card, giving me a different type of ongoing benefit that I can receive when it isn't my turn. So the more you upgrade, the more chances you have that you'll get cards that activate when it's not your turn. But that also means that I'm replacing the core ability for when it is my turn for this card. So great puzzle there between like which cards to upgrade, which numbers to upgrade, and what you want to focus on. Do you want to go wide? Do you want to focus on a few numbers and hope that they're rolled a lot? And I also like the idea in this game that when you use the dice, you're either adding them together or you're using them individually. And so numbers 1 through 6 are really, really important in this game. And that also means that there are some very powerful benefits at 7 through 12, because you have to add the dice together. You're only using 1 of those numbers instead of a combination of the 2. I love Space Base. I love getting it out. I love playing it. And it's number 9 on my list of all-time games right now. And number 8 is Cat in the Box. I adore this game. This is a trick-taking game where all the cards that have these adorable cats on them do not have colors. You declare the color of the card or the suit of the card as you are playing it. And that leads to a whole puzzle in the game, both a spatial puzzle and a puzzle of just trying not to create a paradox, which is when you need to play a card, it's your turn to play a card, but you cannot play it. If that happens, you lose points. You don't move forward in the game, or you do move forward, but you don't have the points from that round. That's a tough position to be in, but a big part of the game is avoiding being the paradox player for each round. I just adore this game. I love the puzzle of it. I love the twist on trick taking. It's very easy to get to the table. It doesn't overstay its welcome. And I kind of like Centuries and Space Base. It's a game that it requires just the amount of brain power that I want to spend on games right now. This is affecting the whole list here that I'm talking about today. But I really love, and I love the creativity of it. Even though there are many, many trick-taking games out there, I love this twist that the cards don't have suits and what that means for this game. So yeah, Cat in the Box at number 8. At number 9, all right, I'm sorry, going the other way, going to 7. At number 7 on my list is Mysterium Park. I find myself pulling out Mysterium Park a lot. It is one of my favorites, let's say, is it my favorite? Yeah, on this list, this is my favorite cooperative game that isn't a campaign game. I do have some campaign games on this list. So this is my favorite cooperative game that just, I am eager to get this game to the table and just see what happens, because it involves so much creativity from the players. There's a player who is giving clues to all the other players, visual clues using cards. And then the players, everyone else who's working together to interpret these cards to determine who done it, like who committed a crime and where did they commit that crime. I love the puzzle of this game. I love the collaboration, but I also love that I get to make the decision in the end based on what my actual guess is. But there was a lot of open discussion and collaboration with the other players. And then there's the pressure of being that one player who has all the information, but the only way they can communicate is through these beautiful visuals. This game, I would say the more famous version of this game is Mysterium. Mysterium Park is easier to set up. It's faster to play. It streamlines some things that I think got in the way of the experience of Mysterium. I highly recommend it if you are looking for a great cooperative game. That's Mysterium Park at number 6. Was that number 6? That was number 7. At Earth is my number 6 pick right now. So Earth is a wonderful tableau building game where you, and this is a simultaneous action game. I talked about simultaneous actions earlier, where all players are working at the same time to build their own little islands, their own little habitats of flora, some fauna, some events, some terrain. You can see in this photo here how each player is trying to build this 4x4 grid. And not only are they putting cards down into that grid and activating them over the course of the game, they're also putting tokens on them to grow those cards. There's this sense that your island is living and breathing. These things aren't static too. You might put a bunch of tokens on a card and then you might pull them off and spend them on another card. So that it's always, your island is always growing and developing and changing and evolving. I really love that. I also love the goal system in the game. You have some personal goals just for yourself. You also have some shared goals that you're racing to achieve with the other players, and then some end game goals. The simultaneous play, I think, is really, really satisfying in this game. It means that you can pack a heavier, more complex game like Earth into a shorter play time, usually around an hour. And I am delighted when this game gets to the table, and I'm eager to pull it out. I had it pulled out on the table to play just the other day, but I ended up playing another game. I played Concordia instead. It was between Concordia and Earth. And I was hosting it. I was the swing vote there. So I went with Concordia, and another table went with Earth. But yeah, so Earth, delightful game, number 6 favorite game of all time as of right now. Another simultaneous play game is The Quacks of Quedlinburg. This is my number 5 favorite game as of right now. You can see in this photo one of the innovations of this game, because it's a bag building game where you're pulling these tokens out of your bag. The tokens don't have any defined meaning besides the number on them and the fact that they aren't the token that you don't want to pull out of the bag, the white tokens in your bag. But the really cool innovation, I think, with these tokens is that because they don't have any text on them, you can apply any meaning you want to them for that particular game. And so for any game, you have this wide variety of different abilities that pair with each of these tokens. I love this. I love the variety that comes out of Quacks. And even though it is random what tokens you're pulling out, it isn't random what you're putting in. You decide the tokens that you want to invest in based on the abilities and the combination of abilities available in any given game of Quacks. I love that element of it. And I love the tension of pulling tokens out of the bag and trying not to bust. But even when you bust, it isn't that bad in Quacks. Just a delightful game. And again, it kind of does fit into this chill, cozy category that I focused on a little bit today without even realizing it. That's Quacks, my number 5 favorite game of all time as of right now. Number 4 is Star Wars, the deck building game. I have loved playing this game over the last year plus. I think I actually got it around this time last year. I just played it the other day with Megan and got crushed. It's a wonderful deck building game with so many little innovative elements that elevate it above many other deck building games. And deck building is a genre that I really, really love. So this is a game, I can't even go into all the things I love about the game, but two things I'll focus on. One, I love that there's a central card row, and that interacting with that card row is when you can permanently remove cards and prevent players from getting them. So it isn't that Megan has invested in Darth Vader, and then I take Darth Vader away from her permanently. Rather, Darth Vader is out there in the universe. He's in the galaxy row. He's doing Darth Vader stuff. And I am choosing as the Rebels to invest in a turn where I get rid of Darth Vader from that row before Megan even has the chance to get Darth Vader. And that way she never does get Darth Vader and can't benefit from him. I love those interactions with the card row and the fact that You can see it on this card down here. So if I take out Luke Skywalker, I said that name like I've never heard his name before. That was super awkward. If I take out Luke, I was focusing on the reward. It costs me 8 like force, military power, but I gain a benefit. Not only am I removing Luke from my opponent, but I'm doing so with a reason because I get 4 resources and I get 4 force by taking Luke out of the card of the Galaxy Row. I think that's brilliant. I also really love the choice to use the bases in the game. So it isn't a game where you're trying to destroy your opponent's life. Rather, you're trying to destroy 3 bases, and each opponent only has, or the opponent only has 1 base at a time. When you destroy my base, I get to pick another base that comes into play at the beginning of my next turn, and bases have a wide variety of abilities. Even just with a core game, there is no expansion yet that I'm aware of, but even with a core game, there are 10 different bases, and so it's a big choice. Which base am I going to put out based on everything I know about the game at this moment and how I can possibly win this game? And you're doing that twice over the course of the game, putting out 2 new bases twice. I really love that decision space in Star Wars, the deck building game. And for those 2 reasons and more, just the amount of fun I've had with the game, I'm putting it at number 4 on my all-time list as of right now. And number 3 on my list is another trick-taking game. This is Skull King. I just have a delightful time playing Skull King. This is a trick-taking game where you are trying to win the number of tricks that you bid on. And trick-taking games where you're declaring a number of tricks to win are a little tricky. They're difficult to play around with because, especially for new players, they don't know how many tricks they're going to win. But I think Skull King does this really, really well by having you only start with 1 card hand. So your first decision in the game is to say, I'm either going to win this trick, this one trick, because we each only have 1 card, or I'm not going to win it, and I'll win 0. And so you learn a little bit from that. And then you add another card. You have 2 cards. Then you have 3 cards. And you start to feel like you're really good at the game. And then suddenly you have 8 cards, and then 9 cards, and then finally 10 cards. And it's really difficult to correctly predict that bid. And sometimes it can just be fun to go nil and not bid anything and say, I'm not going to win anything, and go out of your way to not win any tricks because you get an increasingly high number of points over the course of the game based on the round if you successfully go nil. There are also some special abilities in the game, interactions with mermaids and pirates and trump cards and the Skull King himself. But I just have a blast playing it. I played this on an island recently. I'll play it my game night anytime anyone wants to play Skull King. That's Skull King at my number 3. Now, for a little bit of a twist at number 1 and 2, this is where I usually don't put campaign games on my top 10 list of all time. But for some reason, when I was creating the list this year, I was like, you know, I want to fully acknowledge how much fun and how many good memories and how often I've thought back upon these incredible experiences that I've had with many campaign games, but in particular, 2 campaign games. The first of which is The King's Dilemma. I made so many happy memories, joyful and just memorable memories, really, playing this game with 4 other friends, where we were influencing the leader of a kingdom over the course of a campaign. It's kind of partially competitive, partially cooperative. So we were each trying to win, but we're also guiding this kingdom that we're all in together, making choices for this kingdom and seeing where those choices lead. There are so many different paths and split decisions in this game that you can make. And there's this, kind of a tug of war track where you're moving tokens up and down in different categories of different ways that you're managing the kingdom. But I am kind of just amazed that this game exists. The amount of writing and just making split paths in the game is not easy. It takes a lot of effort. And the group behind The King's Dilemma did an amazing job at it. And one of the reasons that it's on my mind is that the sequel, The Queen's Dilemma, I believe is coming out sometime in 2024. And so I am so excited about that game. I'm so excited to get back together with this group and play The Queen's Dilemma. But I've thought back on The King's Dilemma many, many times, and I relish those memories. I cherish them. And I wanted to acknowledge how big of an impact the game has had on me as a gamer. And so it's number 2 on my list right now. Following up on that theme is a game that I didn't play with a bigger group. I played it just with Megan, and this is Role Player Adventures. I absolutely love this game. This is another campaign game where, I don't know, there's so much going on in this game. The basic idea is an adventure storybook game where you're making decisions in the story, but also have this great mechanical dice puzzle that you're trying to solve that is similar to role player, the core game role player, but not exactly the same as role player. And you have skill tests that are unique. You have unique enemies that you're trying to defeat. And every scenario, I think this is the thing that really elevates role player adventures. Actually, there are many things. I have a whole video about 10 things that I love about role player adventures. I'll mention two of them real quick. One is, every scenario is uniquely different. It uses the same core mechanisms, but the things that you're doing on the map, and you can see a hint of one of these scenarios here. You can see it's kind of a coastal scenario. It is memorably and mechanically unique and distinct from all the other scenarios in the game. And I love this. I love that each scenario was, there were no grindy scenarios. Each scenario felt unique and different and had consequences that mattered right away, short-term and long-term consequences. This game does that exceptionally well, as does the King's Dilemma. So consequences, remember, the theme of these campaign games that I really, really love. So many amazing consequences that happen in these games. It makes every decision really, really difficult, and it makes every success and every failure, you really feel the weight of it when you're playing role-player adventures. The other little thing I want to throw out there with role-player adventures, because I have played other campaign games recently that did not achieve this goal, is that the game does a fantastic job of reminding you what you need to do and how you need to do it. And I'm talking just the pure rules for the game. Like when it says, when you're reading the storybook in Role Player Adventures, it tells you exactly what you need to do. It doesn't make you refer to a separate rule book. It's very rare that you need to refer to the rule book in Role Player Adventures or even the reference card because the game is just telling you step by step, hey, do this, don't forget to do this, and then move on to the next entry, the next adventure, the next choice that you have to make. And that's honestly has been a struggle with me with some other campaign games that I've played. And Role Player Adventures takes away that mental overload and lets me just enjoy the experience and focus my brain on the decisions that I'm making, not remembering little rules, because the game is doing that for me. So I really, really love and appreciate that about Role Player Adventures. My number one game of all time as of right now. That's my list. Like I said, it's all over the place. It is my personal list. I understand that your list might be constructed in a completely different way, but I would love to hear about your list. I'd love to hear your favorite game that I mentioned in my top 10, and then maybe your top either 3 or 5 or 10, if you want to go that far, favorite games of all time as of right now. And if you want to mention like what you kind of thought about when you were compiling the list, if you used a tool or an app to compile a list, or if you just thought about, if you just looked at your shelves and said, these are the games I want to play right now, let me know what your requirements were for creating the list. I'd love to hear about that in the comments below. Thanks for joining me for this video. I really appreciate it. And I'll be back in 6 months to do another video of my top 10 favorite games of all time as of, I believe, September, October, 2024. Thanks.